This morning we talked about walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. And we said the number one reason why it's so hard to walk in the spirit is because of the inner struggle for control between our sinful flesh and God's Holy Spirit. Tonight we're going to be talking about the second reason, because there are three basic reasons why it's so hard to stay faithful. The second reason is the pleasure of sin. We talked a little bit today about sin is pleasurable for a season, and the Bible says that very clearly. But afterwards, you have to reap. The fact that sin is pleasurable is Satan's bait. You know, when you go fishing, anybody here ever go fishing without any bait on your hook at all? How many fish do you think you would ever catch if it's just a hook sitting in the water? A fish is not attracted to a hook at all. It knows it's going to hurt. There's no flavor to it. There's no taste to it. And so Satan sees to it that to match our flesh, there's stuff on the sin that makes it desirable, that makes us take that first bite. Fish don't bite a hook that has no bait, and sinners won't bite unless there's something that caters to their flesh. And so we have to be careful with this thing, because Satan is a master at baiting the hook. He's been successful for 6,000 plus years now. He's an excellent fisher. He'll use all different kinds of bait depending upon what your sin nature is. Whatever your flesh wants, Satan will give it to you in exchange for just a little disobedience to God. In Galatians 5:17, it says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." We have so many churches today telling us that you can do whatever you want. The Bible says, no, you can't do whatever you want, because God said, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." And so we have to align our thoughts with our God's thought. Again, if you go to the Golden Corral and you're really, really hungry, your flesh says, "Eat all you can." And God says, "No, that's not right." How many have ever fallen prey to that? I have. There's been times I've overate quite a bit and then suffered for it. The Lord wants us to eat all we need, but he doesn't want us to eat all we want, because it'll get us into trouble. It's like a little child with candy. So we want to be those like Moses back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Because Moses in his day was tempted just like we are in our day, and Moses resisted it. It says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time." Now, why would he have just enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a short time, when he was a young man at the time, could have been one of the high officials in Egypt all the years of his life? Why does the Lord say that he refused it because it was just a short time? Those of us that are older can answer the question, because our lives seem like a short time. It just seems like a few months ago I graduated high school, 58 years ago. It's amazing how quickly our life goes. Moses could have lived like a king on this earth, except that he couldn't keep it. You can't keep it either. Jesus said, if you gain the whole world, what's the benefit of it? Because you can't keep it. You think of some of the richest men in the world today, Bill Gates, and there's several more that you could mention. What's all their value going to be worth in about another 20 years for Bill Gates? It's going to be zero. I don't know if Bill Gates claims to be a Christian. I don't think he does. But if he's not a Christian, no matter how much you have, it's a short time. You can enjoy it for a while. Galatians 5:9. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, Those first sins that he mentions on the list of the works of the flesh are sexual sins, all three of them. Immorality is the Greek word porneia, and it's where we get our English word pornography. It's where it comes from, which is translated, porneia is translated immorality in our Bible. It covers sex before marriage, which is fornication. It covers sex outside of marriage, which is adultery, and it also covers incest. And by extension, it would cover any man or woman looking at the opposite sex lustfully, or the same sex today. It's crazy. The word impurity, which is just moral uncleanness, and then debauchery, and that's the worst of the three. Debauchery is unbridled lust. It's where you get into the orgies and all the other crazy stuff that goes on sexually. Homosexual men oftentimes will have a big orgy party and just pile on, and it's just unbelievable how gross that can get, but they think it's wonderful. They think it's the best thing ever. And of course, they're dying young because of it. So our Jesus Christ wants us to know that he wants us to stand strong against those particular sins, because they'll destroy you, they'll destroy your life, they'll destroy your family. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6, talking about sexual sin, it says, at the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the streets, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, "Today I fulfilled my vow, and I have food for my fellowship offering at home. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you, and I have found you. I've covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon." Folks, that's the man without any sense. Is that type of a relationship going to be pleasurable? Yes, it is, but for a very short season. How long is the season? Until morning comes, and then that's over. When David saw Bathsheba taking a bath, she was a beautiful woman, and the Bible says, he lusted after her, and he sent to find out about her. He found out she was one of his soldiers' wives, one of the men that was off fighting his battle. This was his wife, but he sent for her anyhow, and he took her. Do you know what the Bible says about David's life? It took about a year, but David finally did confess it, and he did receive forgiveness. You can be forgiven any sin. But if you study David's life, his life was never the same again. In fact, the Bible said the child that was out of that union was going to die, because Bathsheba was with child. And that child did die. And the Bible says David never had peace in his own family again all the rest of the days of his life. Is it pleasurable? Yes, it's pleasurable for a short season. But what's the end result? Misery for a lifetime. Not just David's misery. It affected his entire family. It affected the entire nation. And we think, oh, my sin's just my own. No, it's not. Your sin will affect people. And so we have to remember, as parents, grandparents, what you do affects your entire family. And so we have to live godly lives. The problem is the flesh wants what the flesh wants. but it must be put to death. And it's one of those things you can't do just one time. It's time after time after time. Moses was tempted, the Bible says, with the pleasures of sin. But he decided the pleasures for a short time were not worth the cost. Is Moses glad he made that choice today? I'll guarantee you he's extremely ecstatic that he said, no, I'm not going to pretend to be an Egyptian prince. I'm an Israelite man. I'm going to live for Jehovah God. And the Lord used him greatly. Did Moses fall into other sin? Yes, he did. But he stood strong for the Lord, and most of his life was very blessed. When the flesh is in control, when you and I are walking in the flesh, we're going to fall into sin. The finish of that story found in Proverbs 7:21 says, with persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierced his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Folks, the price is too high. Sin is not worth it. The bait is desirable, but the hook is there. When we choose to disobey our God, we're going to get hurt, and we're going to hurt others. In Galatians 6, verse 7 again, the Bible gives one of the sternest warnings that he could possibly give. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I had a man, this was a while ago, Christian man, I believe, married a Christian woman, and he decided he wanted a divorce. There are only two reasons biblically that divorce is allowed in a marriage. The first biblical reason is marital unfaithfulness. Your mate has been unfaithful to you. That allows you, if you choose, to get a divorce. The other reason is your mate is not saved, and she will not live with you as a Christian man or woman. Then you can get a divorce. Neither one were true in this man's life. But he said, this is what he told me, I'm going to get a divorce and God will forgive me, because I'm going to ask him to forgive me. And I said, you're right. God will forgive you. If you're really a Christian and you go to him and ask him, he will forgive you. But don't forget what Galatians 6, 7 says. You're going to reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap what? Destruction. How many of us would like to have our life destroyed for a few minutes or a few hours of pleasure? That's what he says. God can't be mocked. Just because he forgives you and you still have your eternal life and you're restored to fellowship with God, don't think you're going to get away with it. You're not. And that's one of the things that restrains us from following that path. I don't know about you, but I know enough about farming that if I want potatoes, I'm going to plant potatoes. I never have planted in my whole life sand burrs on purpose, because I know that when I plant sand burrs, what am I going to get? I'm going to get sand burrs, and those rascals hurt. I still remember when I was a young man, my oldest nephew, we had a 57 Ford tractor, and somehow sand burrs got on the seat. And this young boy, he's about 3 years old, maybe four, he climbed up on that tractor all by himself. He was so ecstatic that he had climbed up there, he kind of jumped in the air and sat back in the seat, and there were sand burrs on that seat, and man, were they sharp. Folks, you can do what you want, but sin always comes at a price. You cannot sin and not reap what you've sown. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, he goes on. He's talked about the sexual sins now, Now he's going to get into other sins. Maybe you don't struggle sexually. Most of us do, but maybe you don't. But he talks about idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is it fun to party? For people, I'm talking about a drunken party. For people that get into that, man, it's a lot of fun. Half the time, you don't remember what you did. But I want to tell you something. When the party's over, you've now got a 500-pound gorilla on your chest. If you think you can go out and get drunk anytime you want to, and there won't be a price to pay. Anybody know anybody here that deliberately set out to become an alcoholic? I don't know one single person. I know people that drank a lot, had a lot of fun, but once you can't stop drinking, there's a little poem that says this. First a man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes the man. If you think you can handle your alcohol, I had a friend in high school who drank like a fish. He could drink a whole case of beer and not look like he was drunk at all. But he died young. Just because you can hold it doesn't mean that it's good for you. We all know people that have smoked like crazy. My dad smoked 3 packs a day for years. He thought maybe he was going to get away with it, but he didn't. It caught him. Folks, there are sins that Christians do, and I'm not saying they're not Christians. I'm saying they're kind of thumbing their nose at the Lord. I know this isn't right. I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyhow. If you think that sowing and reaping isn't true, just keep doing it. You'll find out the hard way. Again, Galatians 5:21. Envies, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the most dangerous part, I think. Many people that prayed a little prayer, many people that came down an aisle of the church were not saved. They prayed a little prayer, but they never received Christ as Savior because the Bible says the Holy Spirit will not allow a Christian to stay in sin. We do sin, but the Holy Spirit will come after you and rebuke you and explain to you it's time to stop. Every Christian I know struggles with all those different things we read, but when you're really born again, you cannot stay in those things. If you can stay in those things, you have to question your salvation. Something is terribly wrong. When you do something habitually and you can't stop, your life is out of control. The Lord is not Lord of your life. He's not in charge. And you better be careful because you may not even be saved. And I can't judge that. Only the Lord knows that. But we have to be real serious here and say the Lord says very clearly, those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not an idle warning. I believe with all my heart there's going to be a lot of people get to the judgment seat and they're going to think they're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, but they're going to find themselves at the great white throne. And they're going to find out their name is not in the Lamb's book of life. And the Bible says if anyone's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. The third reason why it's so hard to allow the spirit to take control instead of the flesh is because we want to be in charge. Some people are in Christ, are struggling with who's going to be in control, and they're struggling with it and struggling with it. Folks, as Christians, we were never meant to be in control of our own lives. We have a Lord, and he wants to reign. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. If you're truly born again, the Holy Spirit is in you, and he wants to direct you. He wants you to keep your eyes on Christ and try to become like him. Just like we talked about today, Caleb in the Fireproof movie had a hard time as a young Christian overcoming his habit of pornography. He struggled with it and struggled with it until finally, if you did see the movie, you see him taking that computer outside and smashing it with a bat. That's what the Lord tells us we are to do. With whatever sin's going on, we cannot do it in the flesh. That's number three. You cannot overcome flesh by the flesh. The flesh can only be overcome by walking in the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit. He has the ability and the strength to help us overcome. We don't have it in ourselves. So many people that claim to be Christians, when they fall into sin, well, I'm just going to try harder. I must not have been trying hard enough. I'll just double up my effort. Folks, effort in the flesh is appalling to God. He doesn't want you to try to overcome your sin nature by working harder. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sin sweeps us away. That was the problem with the Pharisees. Jesus said, outwardly, you look like a whitewashed tomb. A tomb is a beautiful little building. It's all clean and white. But what's on the inside? That's what we have to look at as Christians. What's inside of me? What are my desires? What are my hopes? What are my aspirations? If it's all garbage, if it's sinful thoughts after sinful thoughts, we have to realize something's very, very wrong. In Romans 8:8, it says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. No matter how hard you try to make your life right, if you're not in the Spirit, if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, no matter how hard you try, it'll never please your God because it's being done in your own power. The Lord doesn't want you and I living in our own power. He wants to be our strength. The Pharisees lived day by day trying to impress people with how they were living, but they never concerned themselves with what they thought about. They were dead on the inside, acting like they were alive. In Galatians 5:16 again, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Our Lord wants us to change. Our life shouldn't be on autopilot, and we shouldn't be the driver. Remember the old signs that used to be on the back of the cars, God's my co-pilot? Do you know God doesn't want to be your co-pilot? He wants to be your pilot. If he's co-pilot, who's driving the plane? Who's driving the car? You are. God says, I want to take over your life. If right now the Holy Spirit's working in your heart and your mind is going, well, I got most of my life under its control, but there is this area over here that I don't want to surrender. Folks, that's what this is talking about. We shouldn't have any of those areas where we're in charge and God is not in charge. Again, verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. When I was in the military in boot camp, we'd be marching and the sergeant would be calling out the cadence. And when anybody would get out of step, he would shout your name and say, get in step. That meant you had to do what? You had to do a half step and start the other foot moving. You wanted to be in step with the drill sergeant. Then everybody was stepping left, right, in agreement. The Holy Spirit wants to be your drill sergeant. He wants to tell you what he figures is right and wrong for you. I got to tell you, there are things the Lord tells me that I shouldn't do that is perfectly okay for you to do. I used to love watching Walker, Texas Ranger. I used to love that show. But I can remember just as clear as day, the Lord said to me, not in a verbal voice, but he said, Jerry, I don't want you watching that anymore. I said, well, why, Lord? Walker claims to be a Christian. But he said, in the show, with all the violence that he does with his karate, is that the way you think I want you to live? And I realized, for me, it's wrong. You can watch all of it you want, unless the Lord speaks to you too, but that's not a normal thing. That's something that I was doing that was simply displeasing to my God. And he may tell you things that you can't do that other people could and be perfectly okay. That's why he tells us not to try to be the judge. We are not to judge one another. If somebody else can do something you can't, that's okay, unless the Lord says it's sin. I don't tell people who are drinking alcohol, you're in sin. I tell people who get drunk, you're in sin, but not people who drink. The Lord never forbids that. And so often we say, well, you can't do that. Well, if God doesn't say you can't, guess what? You can. It may be a foolish thing. You may be flirting with danger, but it's not my job to judge others. It's my job to listen to what my Lord tells me and then submit. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Folks, that's another two verses you really ought to try to memorize. Those are foundational verses. Next to John 3:16, I believe with all my heart, those two are the next two most important verses for a Christian. We need to give ourselves a living sacrifice. Many years ago, Adrian Rogers, who was a pastor of just a few years ago, he's passed away now, but he came up with a little thing called PACE, P-A-C-E. When you use PACE as a acronym, P stands for praise. At the start of your day, raise by praising the Lord. Adrian Rogers said, just throw your hands in the air, lift up your head, and praise him for being good. A is for accept. When we accept, we take our hands like this, and we accept what the Lord has for us. It's like receiving a gift. Lord, I accept your acceptance of me. I accept your forgiveness. I accept the fact that you love me. I accept the fact that as far as the east is from the west, so far you've removed my transgressions from me, and I'm not going to live in guilt and shame, because one of the things Satan loves to do is re-bring up all the things you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and rub it into you. If you've confessed it, it's gone as far as God's concerned. Don't let Satan do that. C is for control. I turn my hands and surrender, and I say, Lord, I give control to you this day. I bring myself and I put myself on the altar. I belong to you, and I'm going to be your living sacrifice. Holy Spirit, who lives in me, take the throne of my life. Be in charge. Be king. I'm going to follow after you, and just take me as your follower. And then E is for expect a great day. It doesn't mean trouble might not come, but when you do those things, you're going to be walking in harmony with God. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You've done a foolish thing, And from now on, you'll be at war. Folks, if you want God to strengthen you, get your heart right with him. Submit to him as Lord of your life. In Romans 13, verse 13, Paul says, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Sadly, many people think and think and think, how can I satisfy the desires of my flesh, thinking they can do it without reaping? In Mark chapter 9, verse 43, our Lord Jesus said, this idea is so repulsive. He says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. Our Lord thinks sin in our lives is pretty serious. How about you? Do you think sin in your life is pretty serious? The Lord wants you to think it's very serious. One last verse. This is John 15, verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And the fruit he's talking about is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Father, help us to walk in you that we might have life that's really life. That we might not keep making choices that bring judgment. Lord, I think of the nation of Israel and how they would live for you a little while and then get tempted by Satan to follow after some other god and then be disciplined. Then repent, but repeat the cycle over and over and over. Father, we know we're going to sin. But Lord, we long not to dwell in it. Not to stay in it. Work in our hearts, Lord. Draw us close to you that you might do a mighty work in us. And Father, we're going to give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.